So the question is this: how do thought leaders, school dropouts, former and current students find out what's next after they do or don't cross that stage? If you want to know the secrets to starting the career or business of your dreams, getting paid whatever you desire, and discovering what you do the best with the least amount of effort, then this is the right podcast for you. I'm Sean Anthony, and this is School's Over, Now What? The podcast. Welcome back to School's Over, Now What? The podcast. Guys, I just want to say the love we have been receiving lately has been crazy. The podcast is now global. For you guys, this is your first time listening. I just want to say you're in for something special today. For those of you guys that have been rocking with us, we're now on episode 11, and I can't thank you enough. So if you haven't already, if you enjoy the podcast, enjoy the show, please make sure you take a screenshot of it on your phone, share it on your IG stories. I promise you it is working. I promise you this is definitely getting it to a level we can only imagine. So let's get right into it. Today's episode is about money. And money is a very intimate thing. So I wanted to bring on somebody that knows money very well. Ladies and gentlemen, today's episode, we feature Ron Malhotra. Ron is a wealth specialist. He's an author, a humanitarian. He's also the CEO of The Successful Mail and the founder of Thought Leaders Institute. This guy is going to bring it live from Australia, guys. This episode is going to be something that you're going to look at and say, yo, I just learned maybe about 5 or 6 different things. And if you haven't already, make sure you follow Ron on LinkedIn. This guy has over 20,000 followers, and every day he's posting some of the most inspirational videos that gets hundreds of likes. With that being said, guys, we're going to jump right into this one. Episode 11, Money is an Amazing Tool, featuring Ron Malhotra. Hey, Ron, how's it going? This is Sean with School's Over, Now What? Podcast. How are you doing today?
I'm doing very well, thank you. How are you?
Doing great, man. I apologize for the technical difficulties, as you can imagine, here in the U.S., but I appreciate having you right now here on the show, live from Australia. Is that correct?
Oh, I am, yes. Thank you.
Man, what time of day is it there right now?
It's 10 past 10 in the morning. It's Monday morning here.
I'm pretty sure you already had that cup of coffee and already ready to get off to a fabulous start. So I appreciate, you know, just having you for a very brief moment here on the show, man. So honestly, we just want to say thank you for that.
No, thank you, Sean. I appreciate the opportunity. Thanks for inviting me.
Oh, without a doubt. So a lot of our guests are very familiar with you. You're a wealth specialist, an author, an international speaker. Where did you get your first start at?
I guess I've been in the advice industry for the last 17 years, and having conversations with people about money for many, many years. But money is it's an amazing tool because, it's one of those things that people are not very comfortable talking about. And when you get insights into people's financial situation, you start to get insights into people's psychology. And that's how I got started. So, I started to develop an interest in psychology about 11 years ago, but it's only the last 7 years that I started to delve really deep because I started to see the correlation between how people think and the financial results they produced. So that's where I started. But then obviously that's when I started to understand more about personal development. And then, so it was behavioral finance and neuroeconomics that kind of led me down traditional psychology. And then I started to make the connection between how people think and the kind of results that they produce in life in all areas, including finances.
Wow, man. So for that person who has that particular interest, what advice would you give them, you know, for getting their start on how they should look at their own individual finances?
Well, I think there's a lot of literature out there that will teach you, things like investing and financial strategies and stuff like that. And even if you don't have the inclination to learn all of that, you can always outsource the function to a wealth specialist. But the thing is this, though, your ability to create wealth, and whatever your reason is, so I personally advocate that everyone should look at creating wealth. Why? Because It's not so much about materialism. It's not so much just about your own lifestyle. But number one, money allows you more control over your life. So the less money you have, the less control you have over your life, because the government's going to make decisions for you. People, your family is going to make decisions for you. So if you don't want that, you've got to have a reasonable level of wealth. The second reason why you want to have money is it gives you more options. So if you want to choose where you want to live, you want to choose what education you want to do, you want to choose your travel, you want to choose the type of travel, you want to choose, you know, what schools you want to send your children to. You, again, for options, you need to have wealth. And the third, which is the most important reason why everyone should aspire to have a level of wealth, I believe, is because it allows you the ability to contribute to causes that you care about, or even help out people that you care for. And so I think that's the first thing. So you've got to first make wealth an intention, because it doesn't even fall into your conscious awareness that you must have wealth. It's not just going to happen automatically. It never happens automatically. So the first thing I always say to people is, if wealth is not one of your top values, it ain't going to happen for you. All that's going to happen is you're going to work very, very hard, and you're just going to sustain at best. You're not going to end up accumulating wealth. So the first thing I say to anyone that is serious about creating wealth is, number one, set the intention. Two, understand that it's not about materialism. So get rid of all your negative associations around wealth, and maybe write down 50 reasons why you must have it. So for example, when I became really intentional about creating wealth, it wasn't about the money. It was more about the fact that I knew that money was an enabler that would allow me to live the life that I wanted to live. So I wrote down 50 reasons why I must have it. And there was some lifestyle reasons in there. But majority of my reasons, probably about 40 of my reasons out of 50, had nothing to do with lifestyle. They had to do with the kind of impact that I wanted to make. It had to do with the support that I wanted to provide for people in my family. And so for me, what that gave me was a lot of ammunition and drive to make sure that I did create wealth. So that's where you've got to start, because you haven't got the intention and you don't value it. You can learn all the stuff around money, but you're not going to do it and you're not going to stick with it. So that's where it starts. And that's where the key foundations, which pretty much all wealth experts miss. They just assume that everyone wants to make money, but most people don't want to make money. They just want to make money, and they only see money as a necessity. So you've got to go beyond that.
Man, I think it was so powerful in what you just said, is that by having, you know, monetary and having, you know, money accessible, you can really create and live that lifestyle that you truly want to live. And I think people will definitely find value in that. So one thing that a lot of people, you know, going through that cycle of thinking to themselves, all right, I'm either in school right now, or I'm currently about to be out of school financially. What are some best practices that, you know, you would say someone might want to do while they're in school to create that type of lifestyle and that type of wealth and maintain it?
Well, I think the first thing is you've got to start to make you've got to set the right foundation. So first, you've got to define what success means to you, because as long as you're following somebody else's definition of success, you're just not going to have the level of inspiration that you need in order for you to be able to do what you need to do. It's just not going to happen for you. So if your decision to have money is purely intellectual, purely material, and it's coming from a place of insecurity or having to prove yourself, or it's coming from a place of status or prestige, if that's all that you have, your chances, you can still create wealth, but your chances are quite slim. And so this is where you've got to have meaning. I talk about the value of meaning. And a lot of people dismiss this as, oh, you know, but money is all about numbers. No, money is actually about meaning. You've got to know why you want to create success and what that looks like for you. So it doesn't matter what your definition of success is, but you've got to be clear. So for some people, it might be freedom to travel. For some, it might be moving up the corporate ladder. For some, it might be making a difference. But you've got to be very specific. I know exactly the kind of success that I wanted to have. I knew exactly. I wrote down exactly the type of life that I wanted to have and how I wanted to trade my most important commodity, which is my time. And every single aspect of my life, my business, my family life, my health, my fitness, my relationships with others, my influence, the kind of work that I was doing, how I was treated by others, I was very specific. So the first thing, if you're at school right now, you've got this great opportunity. See, I didn't learn this stuff until I was in my late 20s. I wish I had. But if you're young today and you can become extremely specific about what kind of success you want and why you want it, then what you've done is you've created meaning around your objectives. That's the first and most important thing. Because here is the thing. If I tell you how to just make money and you don't have your heart in it and you don't know why you're doing it, you're not going to stick with it. So that's where it starts. You've got to assign meaning to the type of success that you're wanting to create.
Certainly.
Then if you decide that you want to drive a Mercedes-Benz S-Class, you want to live in a mansion, you want to own a winery in Tuscany. Well, you've got to know why. You've got to know why, just because it will make you important. Because here is the thing. Innately, all human beings want one thing. We all want to matter. And money, a lot of people perceive that money is going to make them matter. For example, you know, I don't know if you know, but I run a men's movement, which is, it's called the Successful Male. And I speak to a lot of young men and I ask them, what do you want? I get three things that come up a lot. I want a private jet. I want $1 million. Or I want to be successful with women. And I asked them the next question. I said, why? Why do you want a private jet? Why do you want $1 million? And why do you want to be successful with the opposite sex? What are your core reasons for it? And they can't tell me. I know the reason. The reason is they want to matter. And they believe that having the private jet, having $1 million in the bank, or being successful with women is going to make them matter. So the question is, you really need to identify what's going to make you matter. And again, a lot of people may dismiss this as esoteric talk, but I can tell you now, I have done this for many, many years. When you give people all the strategies and tools to create wealth, and they lack meaning and inspiration, and they cannot associate meaning with it, they just don't have the drive to follow it through.
Man.
So that's the biggest problem. Everyone wants to know the tactics. Everybody knows, wants to know the strategies. Nobody wants to understand the laws and the principles. And here is the thing I would say to anybody that is serious about making money. Understand the laws and the principles, because they're irrefutable and they do not change. Tactics and strategies change. They change like the weather. So you've got to have something that's on stable ground. And that's why starting with you is the first point. You've got to become, you see, Jim Rohn said, everyone should make $1 million, not because of what they gain, but because who they have to become in the process of making that money. That is absolutely true. So that's the first thing. Become clear. Find out what success means to you. Assign some meaning to it and make sure that it's not coming from your head. It's coming from your heart, because your heart always knows what will make you matter. Get very clear on that.
Man.
Then the next step. Yeah, sorry.
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
The next step that you've got to do is you've got to understand that people who create wealth and keep it, it's not just about creating wealth. It's actually about keeping it and growing it as well. Because anyone can make a lot of money. The question is, can they hold on to it? And can they grow it? That's the magic. That's where the magic happens. In order for you to make money, keep it and grow it, there is something that you have to be very good at. And that is solving problems. You have to become a resourceful person. A person that has internal resourcefulness to fix problems. And the reason I talk about that is majority of people are conditioned to avoid problems. They avoid problems. They only solve them if they absolutely have to. They don't seek out problems to solve. But the thing about wealthy people, self-made multimillionaires who have made millions, kept millions, and grown millions, the thing about those people is they're not deterred by problems. They, in fact, seek them out. And the bigger the problem you solve, the more wealth you're able to create. Why? Because nobody else wants to solve it. That's how you dictate your compensation in the marketplace. If you can do something for which there is a demand, if you can do something which will make you irreplaceable, you can command your compensation in the market. That's the first thing. And you've got to have income to create wealth. But here is where it gets interesting. Whilst you need income at the front end to create wealth, income is actually one of the worst determinants of wealth. Meaning, income by itself doesn't make you wealthy. You've got to have some money coming in so you can do something with that money. Maybe you can invest in businesses, or you can invest in things, stocks or real estate. You've got to have money coming in, more than what you need for your living expenses. But just having a high income will not make you wealthy. The world is full of people who have great incomes, but are unable to create the net worth. And so the poorest determinant of wealth is income, and the best determinant of wealth is net worth. What are you worth if your income stopped? That is ultimately the determinant. So you've got to first know, and this is where it starts. Fundamentally, if you don't ask yourself the right questions, you don't get the right answers. So it does start with mindset, and that's why I talk about psychology. People who make millions are people who are problem solvers. They're very resourceful. They do not rely on resources to solve problems. They rely on resourcefulness. to solve problems. So that's the first thing. There's got to be a mind shift in people. They've got to stop avoiding problems. Because everyone wants the money, but they don't want to solve the problems, though.
Man. And what I like so much about that is that there are so many problems that people might be very good at solving, and they have no idea that that truly is their gift. And I know you talk a lot about magnifying your influence. So I only know that there had to be a moment in your life where you knew that you had this gift. And we got to ask, Ron, when was that moment? When did you knew that this is what you were destined to do and you were able to become the man you are today?
So like many young, ambitious men, I chased material success in my 20s. I thought that that's what was going to make me matter. And so I felt if I have a great corporate career with a lot of benefits and money coming in, then that would make me successful. And I was able to achieve that by my early 30s, except that I felt that there was something missing. So then I had to redefine, I had to reinvent myself. And the first question I asked myself is, who am I? Because this is what the world has told me will make me successful. But who am I really? Because all my decisions were being made through external signals, not by internal signals. I couldn't even hear my internal signals. Didn't know who I was. If somebody said to me, what is your purpose in life? I'd give you a blank look and go, what are you talking about? Or what's your passion in life? I didn't know. What are your number one strength? What's your number one value, Ron? I had no idea. So what I had to do was I had to go on this path of self-discovery. I had to know who I was, because I was like, oh, how come I've got all this stuff that everyone thinks makes me successful, but how come I have this? Why do I always feel passively angry? Why am I always irritated? Why am I always doubting myself, despite the fact that I've got all of this stuff? And I realized that there was something missing, because I had bypassed the whole process of knowing who I am and why I want what I want, and gone and accumulated all of this stuff, and then gone, there's something wrong. I've bypassed the most important step here, knowing who I am, knowing what I want, and knowing why I want it. So I had to start this whole process of going, who am I? And I knew that who am I should not be defined by my occupation, because I, as much as I'd like to think I chose my occupation, I didn't. It was a product of external influences. I thought that working in wealth management is going to make me matter. Now, don't get me wrong. I love my job. I love what I do. But back then, I didn't have a great reason to get into it. So I said, who am I? Who am I should not be defined by my occupation. It should not be defined by my name, because I didn't pick my name. It should not be defined by my nationality. I didn't pick my nationality. It should not be defined by my religion. I didn't pick my religion. So what should define me? I'm going to start to pick things about me. I need to create who I am. And who I am should be defined by, number one, foremost, what my purpose in life is. Why am I here? And for that, I had to look at all the things that I did in my childhood that made me come alive. I started to reflect, what made me come alive when I was a kid? What made me really happy? What were the things that I would do that would make me lose all concept of time? Because in those things lie clues about what I'm meant to be doing in life. Because as children, we're not driven by the mind, we're driven by the heart. And so we know now, and there's plenty of research to say that heart has natural intelligence. And that's why if you look at children, they naturally gravitate towards things that they're good at. It's like they already know what they're good at. And so we have that as well as kids. We all have it, but then it gets beaten out of us because we keep getting told, hey, you should pursue this because that's a more lucrative career path and this is what's in demand. And so what we do is we start to disconnect with our inner gifts. We stop listening to our calling, which we already know what it is when we're kids. And we start to gravitate towards all of this stuff, but the people say that that's what matters. And that's why even when we achieve a level of financial, material, corporate, professional success, we feel very disconnected. We feel hollow because we bypass the important steps. So I said, well, what is my purpose? Why am I here? Second, what am I really passionate about? What do I absolutely love doing? Because for me, the quality of life and success is determined by how many of your waking hours are spent doing what you love. Now, some people may say that that's impractical. Well, you can't spend 100% of your time doing what you love. That's for sure. But I wanted to trade in as much of my time as possible for what I loved. So if I can spend 70 to 80% of my waking hours doing what I love, then I think I've got a good quality of life, right? Because nobody has to push me. So the second thing, first I asked myself, what is my number one? What's my purpose? Second, what am I passionate about? The third thing I asked myself was, what are my core values in life? Because everyone has a set of core values and you've got to know what they are. And all conflict, human conflict happens when I think my values are more important and I start to impose them on you, and you think your values are more important and you start to impose them on me. But we've got to know what our internal values are, and then we've got to live by them, because that's when we feel the most congruent and aligned. And congruency and alignment leads to confidence, which is a massive contributor of success.
Hey guys, so let me take a guess. You're enjoying the show. And if that's right, please make sure that you take a screenshot of you listening to the podcast right now and tag me at SeanRAnthony_. I promise you this is going to help in amazing ways. And while you're at it, hit the 5-star rating and subscribe. With that being said, guys, let's get back to the show.
If you're not aligned and not congruent, you haven't got the confidence. If you haven't got the confidence, you're not going to reach out for opportunities. And that's where it happens. So this is where it's so much of this game is internal and psychological, and so less of it is external and strategic. But no one's talking about it.
Wow. And one thing that's so important, and you're spot on, man, nobody is truly talking about the things that we're discussing right now here on the podcast. And one thing that stands out that you just mentioned was confidence. So for that person that, you know, they kind of know what they should be doing, but they're just scared to throw themselves out there, what can you tell them about confidence and how to build it?
Well, confidence is the opposite of fear. So if you really think about it, confidence means that you know. Fear means that you doubt. Confidence is just a form of faith. And you can only operate either out of fear or you can operate out of faith. You can't operate out of both. So that's why we suffer from lack of confidence is when we don't know who we are. That is the biggest, single biggest issue today. And you see this, you see a lot of professionals and academics and even entrepreneurs that have the external trappings of success, but if they've bypassed the process of working out who they are, they still don't bring all of themselves into an interaction or a situation because they don't know who they are. I mean, how can you stand for what you believe if you don't know what your core values are, if you don't know what your strengths are? How do you ensure that you design a life where you're trading your time for the right things? And it amazes me that you can go through the entire education system never asking yourself any of these questions. I literally bypass all of this stuff. So confidence comes from, and we all have, our actual natural state is confidence. Children are born confident. I've got a 5-year-old daughter. If she wants something, she reaches out for it. She's always expressing how she's feeling. She doesn't hold back. But as she grows older, she's going to be told to hold back and not express herself. And she's going to go from expression to suppression. And that's where you start to limit yourself. You start to dim your lights because you're always worried about what others are going to think. And that happens when you don't know yourself and you're living from the outside in. You are watching external signals and you're letting external signals guide your actions and direction. When confidence comes from knowing who you are, because then you're internally guided. Your voice, your inner voice becomes more powerful than the external voice of the world. Because if the world knew what they were doing, then we won't have the statistics telling us that majority of people out there are failing, whether it's in lack of engagement at work, whether it's a sense of fulfillment, whether it's financial security. You look at all statistics from business failure to relationship failures with divorce, health, anxiety, depression, obesity. So why is it that, why do we want to listen to the outside world when they've got it so wrong? And what are they doing? They're living, where are they getting their signals from? From each other. And so that's why when you correct yourself internally and you go back to the foundations, and this is why I feel human beings are so powerful, because nature, God, universe, whatever you want to call it, has made us perfect. We have an auto correction mechanism in our mind, which just tells us, naturally guides us as to what we should do. But the problem is we move away from our true nature and start living from the outside in. And that's where we start to feel disconnected. And that's where we start to face loss of confidence, which is basically then results in fear. Fear is simply ignorance. Fear comes from ignorance of not understanding your capabilities. That's all it is. Ignorance breeds fear. Always has, always will. That's why wars happen. That's why there's racism. That's why it's just fear. Fear is coming from ignorance, not understanding. So it's up to you. And here is where I hold people responsible. I go, look, in the history of the world, we've never had the opportunities we have today. You could never take a business online, scale it within a few years, take it global, build teams. It's the first time in the history of the world you can do that. Anyone can do that in any country. We've seen examples of people in the poorest countries in Africa and Asia doing this now. But here is the problem. Most people are not seeking it out. It's up to you to seek things out. Wisdom doesn't fall into your lap. Answers don't fall into your lap. The first prerequisite is that you must be seeking answers. If you don't seek, then you're responsible. You have decided to live in ignorance. That's your responsibility then. There's libraries, there's enough tools online for you to be able to learn anything. You can listen to this podcast, you can seek out information, you can seek out mentors, coaches, trainers, you can go and do programs, you can attend seminars. But if you don't do it, you're not seeking. If you're not seeking, you're not going to find it. You can't then keep making this excuse that I'm not feeling confident, I'm feeling fearful. What have you done about it? Or, Ron, I don't know what my purpose is. How much time have you spent in the last 6 months trying to identify it? Ron, I haven't got money. How much time have you spent trying to work out what problems exist out there in the world and upskilling yourself to solve those problems? So tell me, give me those answers, because it's not good enough to say, well, I can't do this. Well, we can't do anything until we learn it, right? But are you seeking the answers? That's the question.
Man, and I think just by seeking everything you want out, you'll then take yourself on a completely different journey. And that's something that a lot of people are doing right now, whether they're a former student, whether they're a current student, or whether they even dropped out. And as they go across this journey, there's a time where they're going to ask themselves this question and the question of this podcast. And I want to hear your thoughts on this. What advice would you give that person that's currently asking themselves the question, school's over, now what?
Well, I did my, you know, I absolutely believe in tertiary education, not so much for the fact that it gives you skills, but in many cases it gives you it pushes you to commit to a long-term project. So that's one of the things we know now, is that people's ability to concentrate and focus and commit to one thing, that's a skill in itself. So to be able to master something, you've got to do it for a while. And so one of the reasons I encourage people still to do some sort of educational program that requires long-term commitment. It doesn't have to be a university degree per se, but something on those lines, because you want to build that muscle of commitment and discipline. But I don't necessarily believe that you have to do that straight away. So what I would suggest is, if you've just come out of school, experiment. So first thing you've got to do is spend a bit of time on self-reflection. We're not taught self-reflection. We think that self-reflection is for old people. It really isn't. Self-reflection, if you want to be in the top 10% of people in the world, you've got to spend some time thinking about what you're thinking. And so you've got to really be clear on what you want in life. That's the fundamental, most important. The reason people that are unhappy are people who actually don't know what they want in life. You've got to go, what do I really want? And I would encourage you to take out a notepad, write your name in bold letters, get the best looking notepad you can get so you have positive associations with it, get a beautiful pen that you like holding in your hands, and write down my new life. And write down your life as you want it, without putting any restrictions on yourself and not worrying about whether you have the money or if it's possible. Because what people think is possible is set by past precedent. You've got to forget what's possible right now. Right now, I'm saying I'm giving you permission and I'm encouraging you to just dream, without putting any restrictions. But I want you to write it in the language of it's happening now. I am a businessman. I am treated with respect. I have people who I trust, who love me, who care about me and my mission, so on and so forth. I get up in the morning, I have a healthy breakfast. So what you're first doing is you've got to be clear on what you want. Why? Because until you become clear on what you want, your mind is going to sit there dormant, not knowing what to look for. For example, if I said to you right now, Sean, can you feel the sensation in your left foot? Yeah. If you're wearing shoes, are you sitting? Yeah. Well, all of a sudden, I have taken your awareness and I've taken it from our conversation and I've put it towards your left foot. But what happened to the sensation 5 minutes ago? It was there, but why were you not experiencing it? It's because your attention wasn't placed there. And so until we know what we want, our mind doesn't know what to look for. And so the first thing you've got to do is you've got to become really clear on what you want and make sure that as you're writing this stuff down, you're feeling a level of emotion. Why? Because that's the real stuff. Then when you've done that and you revisit that over and over again, you look at that, you reread it, or you rewrite it over and over again, what you're starting to do is you're starting to activate what's called the reticular activation system in your brain. Because it now starts to treat this information as relevant information. And what it does is, as you're going about your normal business, is it heightens your awareness to anything that correlates to the stuff that you've written. Whether that's a person, it's a situation, it's an event, whatever it is, you start to become massively aware of it. When you start to become aware of it, you start to naturally move towards it. And this is one of the fundamental mistakes that people make, is they never work out who they are and what they want. So the brain is sitting there, this powerful device is sitting there, absolutely dormant, a solution-seeking organism that doesn't know what to do because you haven't given it any clear instructions. And it happens all the time. You've seen it when you buy a new car, you decide to buy a particular car. You start to see them everywhere. That car was always there, but we just didn't see it. Why? Because it was irrelevant information to our brain. So our brain literally shuts down and makes us inattentively blind to any information that it perceives to be irrelevant to us. So you've got to make it relevant. You've got to drop it into your conscious awareness. You've got to associate emotion with it. And then your brain starts to come alive. And you're casually browsing Facebook and it says, oh, hang on. You remember you said that you wanted to have this particular lifestyle, or you wanted to set up a business where you could grow and scale it without spending too much money? By the way, there's this ad that just popped up, which actually talks about this very thing. And all of a sudden you notice that ad, whereas previously you would have missed it because you would have made the determination that it's right now, I'm not ready for it. And that's how people restrict themselves in life. They put these invisible lids on their potential by keep talking themselves out of things, because they look at the past, they look at the people around them, and they determine what's possible for them without ever realizing how their mind works and how creative they can be. Man. And this is why I keep going back to psychology, Sean. I can't explain to you that we can teach you. Our education system has largely failed, because what it teaches us is that there is this thing called intelligence. And what that means is reasoning, analysis, and memory. That's only left brain. What about emotional intelligence? We now know that emotional intelligence, our social awareness, self-awareness, our ability to manage relationships is now one of the top prerequisites of financial and professional success. Carnegie Institute of Technology did research and it said that 85% of your professional and financial success comes from who you are. Who you know and who knows you. Only 15% comes from your technical knowledge. Yet, we emphasize technical knowledge over all of that sort of stuff. Who we are means what is our personality. Right? So, then there is financial intelligence. You've got to understand numbers. You've got to understand money. You've got to understand the world of finance, demand and supply. You've got to understand economics. But prior to you learning all of that, you have to understand you and whether you value money. Because you can learn all the fundamentals of economics and you can learn and understand all the fundamentals of financial markets and still fail because it's irrelevant information to you and it has no meaning for you and you don't value wealth. And this is why I started at that point, Sean, because when you asked me, I could have easily gone into how to buy investments, how to select stocks and all of that sort of stuff, and how to leverage and how to create wealth. But the thing is, it's largely irrelevant to a person who doesn't know why they should do it.
Exactly. Man, and everything that you're saying right now, and it all really comes down to what you're going to focus on, what you're going to bring your attention to. And after you bring your attention to that focus, how to then make it become a reality, man. And I appreciate you so much for your knowledge on this episode. I think a lot of people are going to gain so much financial wisdom, but then get a sense of who they can become. But first realize they have to become confident in themselves that they can do these things. Ron, please give us, how can people get in contact with you? How can they find out more about you? Where are you located? Just give us all of your info, man.
Sean, thank you for the opportunity. So people can find me on LinkedIn, where I'm guessing that this podcast might be shared. So you can connect with me on LinkedIn, Ron Malhotra, spelled M for Mary, A-L-H-O-T-R-A. You can find me on YouTube. You can find me on Facebook. My website's ronmalhotra.com. I have a number of solutions that I've designed to build the foundations upon which people can build their success. So I have a program called the MBA of Success, which teaches you about the money mindset. It teaches you wealth creation. It teaches you the laws of money, but it teaches you fundamentally first defining success for yourself, understanding your life's purpose. It teaches you how your mind works, because fundamentally I know that you can give people all the tools in the world, but they'll still fail if they haven't got those things mastered. Other than that, if you can just, you know, just let me know if you want any of my, I've got a lot of free stuff that I put out. I put out content regularly to provoke thoughts and shift people's paradigms. I'm happy to provide you with copies of my free book if you're just starting up and you're just building foundations. If you're at an advanced level, reach out. If you're wanting to someone that wants to build a business, you've got an idea, you've got a potential for an idea, you want to know how to take that idea from conceptualization to commercialization, and you want a process for it, reach out. You know, I can help you with that as well. It's something that I specialize in. I've done that twice, and I'm about to do it the third time again. So, but really, at the end of the day, for me, whilst I always, I do sell my programs and I'd sell my initiatives, at the end of the day, the thing that makes me the happiest is when I see people who live into their potential and then use their potential to make a difference. You know, it's not just about you. You have an obligation to make sure that you become your best so that you can then go and add value to the world. And, you know, and that's basically what I stand for, Sean.
Man, Ron, I appreciate you, man. And I'm pretty sure our listeners, they're going to love this episode, man. As always, remember, dream it, believe it, go out and get it. Yo, what you think? I hope you enjoyed today's episode. I want to know what you learned. So if you wouldn't mind, would you take a screenshot of you listening to the podcast on your phone right now? Upload to your Instagram stories, tag me at SeanRAnthony_, and then let me know in that Instagram story what is one thing that you learned. I love hearing from you, my listeners, thought leaders, former or current students all around the world. Let me know, and while you're doing this, go inside the podcast app, subscribe, leave a 5-star review and a 5-star rating. Again, this helps us reach more people. And if you want to be a part of this mission, helping us change the world one person at a time, it makes a massive difference by you leaving a review. Thanks so much. I'll see you next week. And remember, dream it, believe it, go out and get it.